You ready?
I'm ready whenever you are.
Welcome to the Beer Bottle QBs podcast. We're here to talk about one thing and one thing only, and that's college fucking football. No analytics. We're a fucking eye test podcast, and we're here to shoot it straight. We're going to talk about rankings, best of the worst plays of the week, and some of the most exciting parts of every weekend in college football. I'm Blake Beckelman, and this is my co-host CJ North.
How you doing, guys? Dude, so pumped to be talking about college football. We had a great week of football. It was crazy. I mean, it's upsets. There was teams going on the road showing out. There was teams jump 7-6 spots in the AP. Just excited to talk, man. Let's go.
I mean, every week's a great fucking week in college football. All right, we're going to start off with our first segment. We're going to recap last week a little bit. What's your most exciting play of the week, CJ?
My most exciting play of the week? It's a little weird here, but I'm going to go with, you know, I like when the big boys get interceptions, so I'm going to go with my most exciting play was TCU's two defensive tackles having interceptions on the day of one of the college football's best quarterbacks, quote-unquote, Mason Rudolph. He got picked twice by defensive tackles. I thought that was just out of left field.
Sometimes you just got to let the big dogs eat. I mean, they came to play.
Let them go. Buffalo Wild Wings is going to be popping.
Damn straight. They earned it this week. My most exciting place, this is something the SEC needs a lot fucking more of, the flea flicker to open up the game against Mississippi State. Georgia.
Oh, that was ballsy.
I mean, yeah, it's ballsy, but you got to do it. Like, it's the boring bullshit in the SEC. Let's light it up. That's the first time I think anyone has shown that they can compete with Bama just by running a trick play, showing some excitement.
I love it. Yes.
We might actually have a second big SEC team that can play football.
Maybe. Potentially. But Georgia's freshmen, they got a little quarterback controversy over there now.
I mean, I think you got to roll with Fromm.
You have to.
Take the hot
Easy
hand.
Choice there. Easy choice there. All right. What about your most exciting win?
Most
Who
exciting
do you think
win?
Had the best or most exciting?
I mean, it's got to be TCU at OSU. Underdogs, road win against one of the top teams in the country that looked unbeatable in their first three games. So TCU at OSU, they looked dominant on defense at some points. Both teams showed some weaknesses, but, I mean, TCU came to play, beat the Oklahoma State Cowboys at their place, somewhere they hadn't won in the last 4 years.
Yep, never won there in the Big 12.
Exactly.
So that was mine as well. You know, I had that pick. I thought that was an amazing – I mean, we're homers. Everybody knows that. We're homers. We're going to pick TCU when they upset a, you know, number 6 ranked team and go on the road and, you know, are in the driver's seat of the Big 12 now. You know, Alabama's just embarrassment of Vandy. I don't know if you saw last week, but Vandy's defensive player said, "This is how we do in the SEC. We want Bama."
That didn't look like some SEC defense on Saturday, though.
Hey, everyone in the SEC, if you play in the SEC, if you play any position in the SEC, don't ever say, "We want Bama." Just don't do it.
I don't think anyone wants Bama.
I don't want Bama.
They look unstoppable.
I don't even think the 49ers don't even want Bama.
I mean, they're literally just rolling over everyone. The classic Nick Saban team. I mean, if you didn't think they could be better than the last 2 years, they certainly look like it this year.
Yes, they do.
The train never stops. So
I'm going to give you my dumb-ass play call of the week.
I think we might have the
dumb on this. It should be everybody in the whole world was when you're down 6 points to TCU driving and haven't been stopped yet, try to do a double reverse wide receiver pass that gets intercepted. What was that?
I mean, it has to be when you have possibly the top passing quarterback in the nation, that has to be the dumbest thing you could call. I mean,
hey, let's have our all-star quarterback pitch the ball to some wide receiver and let him throw it downfield. That's a good idea.
I mean, it certainly backfired. Like, I thought that was my dumbass play call of the week too. I don't know how anything else tops that. Just idiots. I mean,
it's
cost him the game.
Cost. I mean, literally, they were driving. TCU couldn't stop them. They had it
Those
figured out.
Drives,
it looked like,
yeah.
And then they just got that just derailed everything they were trying to do. It was like it was like a nail that they put in their own coffin.
Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable. It was dumb as fucking shit.
Yeah.
Sometimes really you get away with those, most of the times you don't. Not against a defense coach as well as TCU's. So
No.
All right,
that may have worked in the second quarter, but not in a tight game when you got everybody locked in. It's just that's not going to fly.
Also, you could tell it was a double pass. I was calling it from as soon as he threw it. Whenever they throw it backwards like that, TCU's defense knows that's a double pass. Any well-coached defense knows that's a double pass. So what do you expect to get away with that? Like, why wouldn't you throw a fucking post route right down the gut, or whatever else you've been doing? You have McCluskey, you have Washington, you have great receivers. It doesn't make any sense. So, and that's why TCU won the ball game. They outplayed
it. It really is. You never know. The ball game could have been completely different if they didn't run that one play, and that's why I voted it for dumbass play call.
Just
run the ball up the middle or a slant.
Yeah, it would have put them within one touchdown. So now we can move on to our next segment. Rankings. So what do you think right now of these the AP rankings?
Love it. We saw a lot of change this week. A lot of movement. You know, we really saw the Georgia moving up four spots, TCU moving up seven. You know, it was a big day. Had some big wins. I think these rankings are decent. I believe after Penn State showing they did not look like a top four team in the country, so I think they should have dropped just based on how they looked. Alabama should be the clear number one, and it's not close. Clemson, you know, is a clear number two, but still, I don't think they're playing on the level of Bama. You know, what do you think? What do you got?
I mean, I have two big qualms with this week's ranking. It's whatever dumb motherfucker watched that Oklahoma-Baylor game and gave them a number one vote. That idiot should be fired, deserves their vote taken away. Because if you're going to tell me that Baylor's the number three team in the nation after basically scoring the same amount of points as Liberty and giving up the same amount of points as Liberty in fucking Waco, you're fucking crazy. Like, it's absolutely insane that Oklahoma is number three. And it just shows to the homer bias and, like, the fact that they – just because they beat Ohio State, they're number three. Even if they go in and play a terrible Baylor team, not well, show that their defense is not very good in this year – and has a ton of holes, they're still number three.
Right. It's a classic thing where all the ESPN and all the AP polls, they don't watch these games. All they do is they vote based on school. It's fucking ridiculous at this point. It's stupid. Like, oh, who's the big markets? Oklahoma, Clemson, Alabama. Okay, Penn State, they're a big market. Let's rank them top four. Penn State almost lost. Oklahoma almost lost to unranked teams.
Yeah. It's absurd. And then my second qualm is that when Ohio State loses to Oklahoma at home, they drop to 10, still a top 10 team. Oklahoma State, who's looked dominant up until this point, drops all the way down to 15 after one loss behind one loss Auburn.
Points.
One loss Ohio State. I mean,
nine spots.
That's absolutely absurd to say that Ohio State, just because they're a marquee program and have more money in the media game than Oklahoma State, that they're seven spots better than Oklahoma State, when Oklahoma hasn't proved themselves to be the best Big 12 team. They have one big win. I mean, these are my biggest problems.
Oklahoma has one big win against an Ohio State that we still don't know if they're good. They could be a three-loss Big 10 team.
Yeah, and also LSU, in my book, not a top 25 team. I mean,
Syracuse at
home, it was a win, but an ugly win. Like, it just, I don't see that happening. I mean, they're a 3-4 loss team in the SEC.
And you have got to be kidding me with Florida. Florida is horrible, and they are number 21 in the country.
So, I mean, the typical biases here.
It's unbelievable. It's like you got people waiting in the ranks, like NC State. You don't think they deserve to get ranked after they manhandled Florida State, who was what was Florida State ranked preseason? They were number top 10.
They don't have a starter quarterback. They were number three. I understand them being a little outside, but you're right. They're probably a better football team than LSU, Florida, and probably a couple other teams on this list.
Yeah, I can tell you. I think I was going to say, I can tell you that I'm pretty sure Florida State might be able to go and work up San Diego State and Utah. That's just my opinion. I think they're a better football team than those schools, and they're not getting credit for it.
Absolutely. And, I mean, if we're talking about snubs, Duke 4-0, another impressive win at Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
Just blatant disrespect. They're in the ACC.
They beat Baylor
worse than OU did.
I know.
They gave up less points than OU. So it just goes to show that even if you're in the top conferences, it's only the marquee schools that are ever going to get love from these fucking beat writers that know barely anything about football and have these guys just
watch one game a week and they get to vote on the top 25. It's insane.
It really is insane. Thank God they don't have a role in the college football playoff, but that's a completely different story. On the hacks on that committee.
Yes, there's some that different conversation. That we can get into that all night. How ridiculous it is that they have people tied to current universities on the college football playoff committee.
It's insane. Like you'd think, they recuse themselves when talking about their school. Well, no shit. But they still talk about the 11 other schools in their conference. You telling me Barry Alvarez in 2014 didn't have an opinion on Ohio State getting in over TCU or Baylor?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kidding me. Kidding me, Blake.
There's a lot of problems with
sometimes. These things get me so worked up. It's like...
They really do.
What are you thinking? Who votes Oklahoma? I mean, like, going back to who gives Oklahoma a first place vote? Did you even watch the game?
It's insane. And the more I watch Baker Mayfield, the more I realize he just throws to open receivers.
Yeah.
He can hit some windows, but a lot of wide open receivers that he's hitting.
Yes. He's going to get tested, though. He will get tested. I do think the Big 12's got some teams with some decent defenses this year that can give him a run.
Well, it certainly wasn't Baylor Saturday night. Baylor's defense is god-awful. Their offense isn't great. I mean, they can put up points to an extent. They put up 10 points on UTSA.
Yeah.
And 41 on Oklahoma.
41. Good Lord. Yeah, I'm really not sold on Oklahoma as a top four team right now.
No, they
I'm
don't.
Just not.
they can't coach defense.
They can't. They lost their defensive guys when Stoops is gone, but... I guess they didn't really have a defense much when Stoops was there.
I mean, there's still one Stoops on the staff. We'll see how long.
Yeah, seriously.
All right. So
that should have been Lincoln Riley's first thing, was to clean all the Stoops out.
Oh, I mean, you know he had to agree to keep him on for at least a couple years. As Bobby's goodbye package.
You can convince me that Elder Stoops is still running the program just like a shadow figure and doesn't have to do all the ins and outs.
He looked very cozy on the Ohio State, the tunnel, when he was hugging all the Oklahoma players.
Mm-hmm.
He's just trying to be Barry Switzer, so can't blame him. Barry Switzer lives a unique life in Oklahoma where he just gets his dick sucked all the time.
That's basically what he does all the time.
All 14 people living in Norman, but that's okay. It's good for him.
Yeah, they have as many people there as they have teeth.
That's true. All right, final part of the rankings. What top 25 team outside of the current top four do you think has the best shot of making it to the college football playoff? Outside top
the
10,
best
actually.
Shot.
Fuck the top four outside of the top 10.
I like that. Don't go
we're
safe.
Take some
don't
shots.
Go safe. We're not a safe podcast. We take the road less traveled, motherfuckers.
All right, let's go.
Of the top 10, you know, give me Virginia Tech, man. They've been playing really good. I mean, they are number 12, so it's a little bit of a cop out because they're almost on there. But I mean, I like what I've been seeing out of Virginia Tech. They got a solid offense, and you know, I mean, they're just solid all around. I don't know if they have the playmakers to maybe do it, but I really like see a lot about them when they play Clemson this weekend.
Oh, it's going to be electric. They're well coached. They've got talent. Virginia Tech, I like it. That's a good pick.
Yeah, that's mine. What are you going with?
I'm going with Mike fucking Leach and Washington State.
That's a good pick, Leach.
I'm all about Washington State this year. That could be dead fucking wrong. They could get squashed by USC this weekend, but I don't think so. I'm Washington State's my dark horse playoff team.
I love it. I love Washington State. I think that this is the only podcast where you're going to get Washington State and Virginia Tech as possible top four. But that's because we don't have any bias.
Before
we,
their big games of the
we're
season,
we're not ESPN.
Before their big games of the season, too. If they both go out and win next week, they're both in the top 10, and they're both being talked up by Herbie and the boys on College Game Day.
Oh, yeah. Herbie's going to get another hard-on for them.
But hot takes, you heard it here first, so.
Come All on, right. Keep spitting the fire.
All right, let's go. Now we're moving to marquee games.
Ooh, there's some good ones. We just touched on two of them,
yeah,
Washington State, USC, and Virginia Tech and Clemson. I mean, those are two huge games.
Absolutely.
Playoff implications.
I mean, these are the two marquee playoff implication games happening right now this weekend. These are the only two that really have direct line of sight playoff implications. But I think there's a couple other games in the Big 12 that actually have some decent appeal, especially for Big 12 fans in the Big 12 championship race. I think Texas versus Iowa State at Iowa State, hard place to play.
You read my mind.
There
man.
You go.
In my mind.
Absolutely. I mean, tough place to play. They pack the house.
Because there is nothing to do in Iowa. You go to football games, you drink beer, or you sleep. There's not much else.
Well, don't forget tilling the cornfields.
Well, how could I forget? But I mean, that's a big game. That's a trap game for Texas. We'll see if they're really, you know, going to be an 8-7 win team in the Big 12. But I don't. If they lose to Iowa State, they may be in the gutter again.
True, but I mean, they could also be in the Big 12 title race. This game will be a big decider on whether they can actually turn around from two early season losses and be able to put together a good football season. Because they could come out of nowhere and win the Big 12 championship if their defense plays as good as it did against USC. And their quarterback can step up and play. They have talent.
Yeah,
they always
I
have.
Agree.
They've never been able to put it together, but it's a team that could get hot.
Them and Oklahoma are the two most talented teams in the Big 12. I mean, and it's not a question because they have all the stars you want, if that's how you want to look at it. They've got talented guys. They've got talented quarterbacks. They've got a great defense. It's just if they can put it together. But, you know, we'll see. All right, what's the next one you got?
I've got Miami Duke Friday.
Yes, I had
Friday
this
night
one.
Game,
Friday night,
the 6 p.m. Central kick. It's a big game. Duke has come out and showed that they can play quality football and that they can win games against a rival. Miami, we still haven't seen a whole lot of, but this is a big game for the ACC. And honestly, I think Duke pulls it out. They're underdogs.
It's a huge game.
They're going. Miami is coming to Duke Stadium. I've got the Duke Blue Devils, and I think they're going to be good this season.
I like it. I like that pick. But I'm going to go with Miami. I think Miami's a better football team. But if they're going to lose, it's definitely on Friday night to Duke. But I do like Duke. That's a tough pick. I'm gonna stay away from predicting that one. That's tough.
It could really go
play.
Either way. It really could go either way.
I know, because Duke's not getting any love. They don't get any love, and they're a good football team.
No, they're 4-0 team. Play Baylor better than Oklahoma did.
Yeah, whip Baylor's ass from start to finish.
So I don't know why the Dukies don't need getting love. They're just people just think they're a basketball school, but Coach David
well,
Cutler
they
can
are.
Coach some football and they can play. So I think that's a big game.
I know we've got some the early games this week are big, and then once it gets into Saturday, you know, there's a big game. I got one circled, Oklahoma State versus Texas Tech. We'll see if Oklahoma State is a real deal. They drop another one, you may be seeing, you know, some batteries flying at your head if you're Oklahoma State.
Batteries and tortillas, Texas Tech's what they're known for. Yeah, I think, I mean, this is a huge, huge bounce back game for Oklahoma State. And Texas Tech, this is a proving ground game. At Texas Tech, I mean, it's a tough place to play. Those motherfuckers are crazy. They literally will throw batteries, tortillas, full water bottles at your head, a bunch of drunk dumbasses just coming at you. So I think it's a huge game. Oklahoma State, neither of these teams are being talked about in the playoff race anymore, but they both certainly have the potential to get to the playoff. Texas Tech hasn't lost yet.
I agree.
All right, so let's roll into our next segment. If a defensive player was going to win the Heisman, who you got? I wish a defensive player would win the Heisman that didn't play any offense. That would be a nice change of pace and get some real football players into the mix.
It's impossible, though.
Yeah, right, it's impossible because the voters are regional elite, regional voting pussies, and they just literally vote for whatever conference region loyalties they have.
Right,
which is ridiculous. Dude, it should be the best player. And, like, there's a
multiple
cornerbacks and D linemen that haven't even gotten close to the Heisman that have dominated games more than quarterbacks and running backs.
I want an equal voting ground to see where when you have some of these defensive players doing what a defensive player has never done before. He should win the Heisman over a quarterback that just puts up crazy yards because, I mean, it's just ridiculous. This guy's setting records, you know. So we had Tyrann Mathieu back when he was doing the Honey Badger stuff. He probably should have won the Heisman. He was a game changer every time he was on the field. They wouldn't even throw his direction because it would be an interception. Exactly. So they started blitzing him.
I mean, at least we should at least have, like, a defensive Heisman and call it the defensive Heisman. Because it's impossible for a defensive player to win the Heisman. So why don't we have two separate and equal Heismans instead of defensive player of the year, whatever the fuck trophies they give out at the awards show that no one cares about except for the people getting them. I can't even tell you who the last Biletnikoff or Maxwell winner was. I mean, those are cool for the players, but, like, the fans only care about the Heisman, so let's give some defensive players credit.
They should have an offensive Heisman and a defensive Heisman. It's dumb that
That's how it should be. That would be exciting. I'd watch the shit out of a defensive Heisman show. We can throw O-linemen in there, too. O-line and defensive Heisman. Get some hog mollies in there. Love to hear those speeches.
Let's go. I love that. I love it. I want an offensive lineman to win. Give me a guard. Tackle. A guard wins the Heisman.
Ooh.
I would love it.
Ooh, now we're talking.
A pulling guard. I would love it. So, who you got if they win the Heisman? If they could, which they can't, and we're all sad about, who do you got?
I'm going Ed Oliver out of Houston. I mean, there's no one that dominates a game more for his team and sets the tone than Ed Oliver. He's out there. He's got some talent on his D-line, but he is a one-man wrecking crew since his freshman year. That's who I'm taking.
Dude, I had him on my list as well. I had him circled and highlighted.
If he's not on your list, then you're crazy.
He is a monster. Monster, dude. My guy is somebody they call the Madman. His name is Chase Winovich for the Michigan Wolverines, dude.
Dude can fly around.
This guy can go get the quarterback, dude. Go get him. I mean, I watched it. I watched Michigan play a little bit. Every time this guy was out there, he just set up a camp in the backfield. He just had his own tent, his own toilet, his own porta potty, just in basically the quarterback's grill the whole game. I mean, I think. I'm pretty sure he's top two in sacks on the season.
Yeah, there you go.
This guy's eating, dude. He's eating. And, you know, he's kind of a licked over guy, but I like it. I like the sacks.
All right, well, let's get to one of our more awkward topics. Whose ass is feeling hot right now? Who's on the coach's hot seat? Your top three.
Ooh, my top three coaches on the hot seat right now? Dude, you gotta put my boy Butch Jones as number one, circle and highlight him. Because he's in for it right now.
It's hot. It's hot.
Yeah, it's very hot. It's on fire. Who do you have? Who's your number one?
My number one is Kevin Sumlin. A&M.
I got Sumlin at two.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, he was probably going to get fired last year. I mean, he's been skating with his job. Chad Morris has almost already signed that contract coming down from SMU. I mean, even though he won that Arkansas game, unless he wins an SEC, unless he beats Bama or somehow Bama loses two games and he is able to slide A&M into the Western Conference Championship and go to the SEC Championship, there's no way he keeps his job. It's just like he's had too many opportunities and he can't perform.
Yep, I agree with you. So yeah, I had him at number two. You know, I agree with you. Basically covered everything I was gonna say. You know, just really he's got talent there, but he just hasn't done anything with it. Hasn't developed it. It's sad, but you know he's probably gonna be fired before the year's done. That he's my pick to get fired before the year's over.
Yeah. It's a very real possibility, so they can get someone in there. Yeah. My number two is Mr. Mora at UCLA. If you have one of the top quarterbacks in the nation and you can't find a way to win football games, you're not going to be able to keep your job.
The thing about Mora is his teams have gotten worse every year.
They have. They really have.
You would think they would get his first season. They were, with Huntley? They were top 10 at one point?
Yeah, they have all the hype every year, and they underperform to their talent level.
Yes,
and they're about to go lose a third game to row versus Colorado, and then they have Arizona, Oregon, Washington. I don't know. It's very possible they'll probably beat Arizona. It's very possible that they lose another three out of the next four games, and then they have Utah,
extremely
they
possible
lose to them, and then Arizona State just beat Oregon. So if you think he's going to have a winning season, I don't see it happening, and I think he's gone.
Where do the wins come from? I mean, the team doesn't look good. They should have lost against A&M. They should have lost that game.
I don't know where the wins come from because Cal looks better. I don't see a easy win at Arizona, possibly the only easy win on the schedule. Other than that, I don't see a win on the schedule.
Yeah. Actually, great segue to my number three.
Just
the king of the segues. You need to buy a segway. That's the corny joke of the podcast. Good old Rick Rod down in Arizona. I think he's got four legs out of the door if it was possible.
Ooh, that's...
I think he is a goner.
If you're Arizona, though, I mean, who do you bring in that's had more success in that program than Rich Rod?
You bring in literally anyone else to try to do something. The recruiting's terrible. The play on the field is terrible.
They're not that bad.
Not,
they played Utah in a pretty good game.
Good.
They're not terrible. They've never been god-awful under Rich Rod. They haven't been.
They're not good.
They only lost to Utah by six. Utah's a good
football
team.
Utah's not that good.
But they're still a good football team for the Pac-12 throughout the whole thing.
No. Not when you hire Rich Rod, you're not expecting this. I mean, they're 2-2. They lost to Houston.
A good Houston team and a good
average Houston team.
But yeah, you're in another situation where I don't see where the wins come from. I see Oregon State, possibly UCLA. I don't see any other wins on that schedule. Be tough for him. And you're right. If he only wins three or four games, he's gone. He's out.
He's gone. You have to fire him. I mean, it's just terrible.
My final guy, not a head coach, but his ass is certainly feeling hot. It's Mr. Stoops, the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma.
Ooh, good call. Yes.
How long does it take Rick Riley? We should do a countdown bet. Set an over-under at 200-something days and see. Because Rick Riley, he's got his defense looks bad, like legitimately bad. They're just trying to outscore people, essentially. They stopped Ohio State, but Ohio State not sold on their offense still. JT Barrett, not great. I mean, Mark Stoops, and this has been a consistent theme. Bob would never fire him because he's his brother. I mean, how do you fire your brother? I might fire my brother if he was that fucking bad at coaching defensive football, but I'd fire anybody in the college football world. You kind of have to do that shit.
Grandma, kick her ass right out the door.
Connecting the dots. Maybe Bob retired right now so he wouldn't have to fire Mark.
He said, Lincoln, I'll give you this year if you fire him, and I'll come back.
You can fire him after a year, but I'll come back next year after Mark's gone. Can't fire his brother. How funny would that be? Lincoln fires Mark, Bob Stoops comes back.
Oh, that would make my dreams come true.
Oh, it'd be a lot.
Because then
it would be so
fun. Think about Thanksgivings with the Stoops. That would be rough.
Yeah, Bob, hey, remember, I can't believe you fucking
when
you fired me.
Fired me, asshole.
Bob, I can't believe you fucking fired me, you dickhead. Just going after each other.
They're wrestling in the backyard. You asshole, you fired me.
Now, I can picture the Harbaughs doing that for sure.
Oh, definitely. They just wrestle for fun.
That's true. Who do you got winning, Jim or John?
Jim.
I'm taking John. He's smaller. You're taking... He's more disciplined in the
Jim's
wrestling.
Jim's just a psycho.
Jim is a psycho. Jim's you know, psycho. John's a little bit of a psycho, too.
He'll be the guy that'll lose and then like start biting and pinching, and he'll play dirty on you. He'll beat you like square and square up, but Jim
John already knows
just like start
shit,
biting
though.
You and kicking you in the nuts.
John grew up taking that shit.
That's true. he really did. That would be tough to have Jim Harbaugh, your older brother.
Is he the older brother? I thought John was the older brother.
Oh, is he? I don't know.
I honestly have no
idea. I might be wrong.
They could be twins in my mind. Who knows?
Who cares? But right. Only one has a championship.
That's true. Johnny boy. All right, now we're winding down to some of our last segments. Our college football playoff rankings. If we were the committee, just me and you, well, actually individual committees, I'm a committee, you're a committee, and had our college football rankings, for who has played the best right now, who you got?
Okay, I'm gonna go quick here. I'm gonna go Alabama 1, obviously 59-0. They're just playing on a different level. Amazing. I'm going Clemson 2. They have a good resume. They played good teams. They've won. They've won handedly. They've looked good. Number 3, I'm gonna go with the Georgia Bulldogs.
Okay.
Because I think Georgia, they have played good teams, and they have won convincingly. And they have had a true freshman starting quarterback and still won very tough games, and he's actually looked very good. And then my number 4 team is the TCU Horned Frogs. I put them number 4 because they've been tested. This is my reason for these rankings, my top 4, is you have to prove it on the field and prove it to me to get into my rankings, and I don't believe that Oklahoma or Penn State has proven it on the field that they are top 4 worthy. I think they're very good football teams, but I'm not sold on them as top 4.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, USC also another team that has not proven it. Washington, a team, hasn't played anyone. At Colorado, that's a good win, but not sold. My 4, I mean, it's obviously Alabama, Clemson, 1-2. We could have just skipped it. 3-4. 3 for me is the TCU Horned Frogs. Like you said, been tested. A little bit of a homer. Go fucking Frogs, but I think we're the best team in the Big 12.
Let's go.
I think we're going to go into Norma, fucking roll them. I think we're the 3rd best team in the country right now. A little biased, but who gives a fuck? It's our podcast. Number 4
it's
for
our
me.
Podcast. We can say whatever the hell we want. We're drinking beers and having fun.
That's true. Number 4 is Michigan. I think their defense is going to be that good by the end of the season. I think they've played well enough to merit a top 4 spot.
I'll tell you what, their defense is that good to be top 4. But that ogre who they call a quarterback is just, you never know what you're going to get with that guy.
But O'Korn looked better.
See some of these throws.
O'Korn looked better than
State. That's
true. I mean, O'Korn is a kid who can throw the ball. We watched it at Houston.
But they're rolling with State, though.
I know, but you never know when Spate's going to get injured again. And O'Korn's going to come in. And honestly, they don't need great quarterback play with how good their defense is, how fast they are. They are fucking fast. I don't know.
TCU's very fast.
Those top 4 teams have the 4 fastest defenses in the nation. Along up there, Washington has a fast defense. Virginia Tech has a fast defense. And we're talking, when I say fast defense, I don't just mean fast. I mean elite speed defenses, which you can just tell, not just by athletic speed, but how they pursue to the football and how they gang tack.
And how they think, and how they think. They think fast.
How quickly they
see it, they read it, and they go. It's not this, you know, this sophomore, freshman stuff. Oh, wait, okay, he's over there. Wait, what do I do now? Do I run? Okay, now I got to go make it. You know, you read the defense, you see the ball's out, you're hitting the guy.
Yeah.
And that's how these defenses play, and that's top 4 quality defenses.
Yeah, it's intuition and great coaching. And all that's something they all have, which is great coaching and intuition. Georgia, I think, is by far a close 5 with all those teams. I wish I could throw them in there, too, because they really did look good against Mississippi State. So
Kirby Smart's defense is very good. We saw what he did at Alabama. He's got very similar recruits. He's going to have a good D every year. He's a great defensive coach.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we have a little bit of extra time, so I figured we'd do a little bit of conference rankings. What you think the best conference is, top to bottom, for the top five power conferences?
Top five power conferences.
And we'll,
okay.
We'll start with one, and then go from there.
Okay, I think number one is the Big 12. You've got.
Let's go.
You're looking at, you know, Oklahoma, TCU, Oklahoma State, West Virginia. I think West Virginia is kind of. People kind of, when they dropped that early one to Virginia Tech, I don't think people realized how good Virginia Tech was. And West Virginia almost won that game.
Oh, yeah.
Almost won that game. I think they're a better team than number 23. I think they'll be in the teens. I mean, those are that's four solid, solid teams. And then you got Texas Tech, who's right outside. And also Kansas State. They did drop an ugly game. But they start knocking off a couple people in the Big 12, they may be right back in that conversation for a Big 12 championship.
All right, yeah, I think Big 12 is definitely up there this year, but I think my number one conference is the ACC. I think from top to bottom, they are the most talented and most stacked. After that NC State win, if they were a weak conference, Florida State, even with a backup quarterback, would have found a big way to win. But NC State looked good and beat them. That shows me that they have depth in their conference. And so I think they're number one still.
Right. Yeah, I've got the ACC as just a very, very close second on my list for basically everything you said. But I just think the elite teams in the I think the top four in the Big 12 is better than the top four in the ACC.
That's true, but we're talking top to bottom, full, all the way.
I know, but I like the argument the
SEC makes every year. We can't be doing that.
I like it, Blake. I like the Big 12. Well, I think they got some good teams this year.
Big 12 is my number two, so.
Yeah, well, the
ACC I agree with you there. Who's your number two?
The ACC.
All right, then we'll just skip number two. We agree pretty much on the top two, and I think those are by far the top two, and then it's a close three-way tie for third, fourth, fifth.
Yeah, who you got? You think it's close? See, I don't think so. I think there's a third, and then I think there's a fourth and a fifth tie.
You think there's a third?
Yeah, I think the Pac-12 is clearly better than the Big Ten and the SEC this year.
Well, I was going Pac-12, but I think they're much closer to the Big Ten and SEC than like farther apart.
I'm not sold on the Big Ten this year. I'm not sold on them.
That's true.
I'm just not.
I think the Big Ten's the fourth best conference, though. I think the SEC is the worst conference in the Power.
Oh, yeah, we agree on that completely. I think the SEC this year is pretty rough.
I mean, they have
Except for Alabama.
They really have two teams.
They do.
It's Alabama and it's Georgia.
And they play in the SEC championship.
Yeah, I mean,
you can call it from now.
Yeah, like, after this week, I mean, Tennessee's garbage, Vanderbilt's garbage, Missouri's garbage, Arkansas, not very good, LSU, not very good, Ole Miss, not very good.
Tennessee,
garbage, South Carolina, okay, Kentucky, okay. Georgia's going to run through the SEC East like it's nobody's business. Alabama's going to run through the SEC West with maybe a chance of losing to Auburn on an off chance. Don't think Auburn's that good. SEC is down, and I think they're going to be down for the next few years.
I agree. I mean, they've had a lot of scandals. They've had a lot of things go bad. There's new coaching. I think the SEC's in for a rough couple of years, except for, you know, if you're not Georgia, Alabama. You know, I think LSU can – you know, turn it around. It's Coach O's first year.
If they don't have a quarterback, but they'll never be able to turn it around. They haven't had a quarterback since Matt Flynn or Jamarcus Russell.
That's true.
10 years ago.
That's true.
10 years ago at this point. How do you not have a quarterback for 10 years? Texas is almost in that same boat. They haven't had a quarterback in 6 or 7 years. Maybe they finally have one in Ellinger or Bouchel, but we're watching that same thing happen to half the SEC.
It's just unbelievable how there's so many good quarterbacks and you can't recruit one to go to LSU, one of the storied college football programs of all time.
Absolutely.
It's insane.
Absolutely.
I mean, sometimes I look at these quarterbacks are thrown out there. I'm like, man, I could get a spin it better than these little fuckers.
I mean, it's offensive coordinators trying to fit a quarterback to their system and not fit their system to their quarterback. Why do you think Oklahoma's offense is so successful? It's because Lincoln Riley, the one thing he does great is fit his system to his quarterback. He's not having Baker Mayfield make super long throws, just air it out downfield, four vert, like a Baylor offense. He's doing a lot of run-pass options, that zone read bullshit, and just hit it with a pop. Yeah, he's making good throws, but that's not that fucking hard for the offense. He just has to make one simple read and then either hit a pass or hand it off or run it himself. And it's
it works perfect for his skill set. And that's what you got to do.
It's so hard to defend.
Yes, and that's what you have to do. You have to tailor your offense to the players you have. You can't just...
Exactly.
You can't have a running offense and throw a pocket passer in there. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Some of these coaches are stupid.
It's absolutely absurd.
All right, let's go. One of our last segments. Let's go with what's your beer of the week for game day? What are you going to be drinking on this Saturday?
Today I'm going something a little bit heavier and a little light at the same time. It's not your tailgate beer, but I'm in New York City. I can't be drinking tailgate beers. I can have something a little nicer. So I'm going to go with Blue Moon White IPA.
Ooh,
it's what I'm drinking right now in preparation. It gets the college football juices flowing.
I like it. Whatever gets your juices going, Blake. Whatever gets you going.
What do you got?
I've been drinking on this brewery in Houston called Carbach, and they make this really nice beer called a Love Street. And it is, it's a little light, but it's also got a little body to it. So you're not just, it's not like you're drinking a Coors Light or something like that. It's got a little kick to it, but it's good for tailgating. I wouldn't shotgun it, but I think it's a great tailgating beer to have a couple.
That's a sexy sounding beer, just nice and smooth.
Love Street, baby.
So that's our segment, Beer Sommelier of the Week. Two experts over here.
Yes. I graduated summa cum laude in beer.
I graduated magna cum laude with beer.
Was that the first one? Salutatorian.
I honestly don't know. Is that the first one? Is magna better than summa?
No, I have no clue.
We're clearly two scholars over here.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about what our shows are going to look like going forward. This is our first episode, kind of a trial run. If you hate it, give us 5 stars on iTunes and then tell us you hate it. If you give us 1 star, yes, go fuck yourself. So I think basically we're going to do 2 episodes a week. We're going to try to release on Thursdays and Monday morning, Sunday nights. The first episode is going to be a short episode where we're just going to give a little preview for the week. And the second episode is going to be a recap of the week and some fun segments. We're going to have a college game day sign of the week competition. At the end of the year, we'll pick the best college game day sign. We're going to do bracket style. I'll post it on our website in 6 weeks when I get it running. But yeah, we have a Twitter at the Beer Bottle.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter at Beer Bottle QBs, at the Beer Bottle QBs.
And then we have an Instagram. Not sure what the name is, but I'll leave it in. I think it's at the Beer Bottle QBs as well. I'll leave it in the podcast notes for this episode. So thanks for taking a listen. CJ, you got anything signing off?
No, just, look out for the episodes coming up. It's fun. Let us know if you have any segment ideas or if you want to see anything on our Twitter or, shout us out. Tell people about us. Rate us. Let us know if it's good, if it sucks. Looking out for some episodes.
If it unanimously sucks from the listeners, then we'll change things up big time, but not really.
Yeah, we'll flip the script.
we'll flip the script, but probably not
because this is fun.
Yeah, probably not because we don't really care. But yeah, so I think that's a wrap for our first podcast. Everyone, go out and enjoy some college football. If you're at a tailgate, have some beers for us.
It's the greatest sport on the face of this earth, man. Enjoy it. It's football season.
Damn right. NFL ain't got shit.
NFL sucks compared to college. All right, we won't get into kneeling or standing, and that's the end of the episode. Bye.